Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. We have just finished our two major conferences of the year, our annual conference in June and Station Summit, which takes place every year in Las Vegas. Now we are polishing up many of these great sessions to bring to you as podcasts. We're going to kick these 2019 conference-based sessions off with a conversation between Joe Early, Executive Vice President, Marketing and Operations at Disney Plus, and a former co-chair of the Promax Board of Directors, and Laurel Bernard, who is currently treasurer of Promax's board and a former co-worker of Early's when they were both at Fox. Early is prepping for the rollout of the new subscription streaming service on November 12th, when it will launch with powerful offerings from Disney's different brands, Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, and of course, Disney itself. Early discusses the challenges he faces as he prepares for the launch, how he ended up at Disney Plus when he wasn't even looking, and what he finds exciting about his new gig. Let's listen in to hear everything Joe and Laurel talked about on stage.
Good morning, everybody. So great to see everyone. So I'm really excited because I wasn't going to do this, and then Lynette Rice from EW couldn't do it. So Joe asked me if I would ask him some questions this morning, which is super exciting for me because I don't know if you know Joe, but he's impossible to get a hold of. We've been trying to have lunch, we've been trying to have coffee, and so now we get to have our little reunion. Just don't mind that it's all in front of you guys. So Joe, come on out.
Not impossible. Well, we're going to hug again. We've already talked about our house and our kids and all that, so we'll spare you guys that.
So.
Good morning. It's not impossible to get a hold of, just busy.
He's busy. So, as you all know, Joe is heading up marketing and operations for Disney Plus, which is fast and furiously coming to us, right?
Too fast, too furious.
So, why don't you give us a little overview of where you are?
If you haven't heard of it, it is a new streaming service that is coming from the Walt Disney Company. I did bring a little sample here. It's a demo. You can sort of see it. The reason I wanted to share it is you see there are the brand tiles. So it looks very much like the interfaces that you're used to, with the exception of those brand tiles. And when I point there, it's of course I'm pointing there because I'm an amateur. But the tiles allow you to dip into our brands directly. So pulling together these unbelievable brands that could probably each stand alone, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, since the merger. And there's a lot of other programming, a lot of Fox assets as well. But those brand tiles are a way to help the consumers sort of deal with the deluge of content that is happening right now. So if you are a fan of Disney and you're a fan of Star Wars and you want to see all 8 episodes, because episode 9 is coming out, they're all there. If you want, your kid loves Pixar and you want to just go into Pixar, you can do that. So it is a unique feature that Disney Plus has that I think is a differentiator in the market, but also speaks to the incredible breadth of the offering. So we have all of those libraries, a lot of Fox content as well, and film and television, and then shorts and hundreds of the DCOMs from Disney Channel, thousands of episodes from Disney Channel, all in one place for an unbelievable price of $6.99 a month. If you get the annual subscription, it's $69.99, which is $5.83 a month.
Do you get free shipping?
Yeah, it's on your It'll be on all platforms. Multiple concurrent users you can download. I mean, it really is
amazing.
If you made a list of everything you want from one of these, it's there at truly an exceptional price. It's priced for families. November 12th, we launch, and we're way, way behind.
I mean, just the just the animation properties alone, the value is tremendous.
And The Simpsons. So at launch, we will have 30 seasons of The Simpsons available on the app. That was really important to me, as several of you who are here know, and you undoubtedly know. I was actually a publicist on The Simpsons when I started my career at Fox, so I'm very, very close to the franchise. But also, for me, it was important to have to signify the elasticity that Disney Plus has. Yeah. It isn't just Disney. And The Simpsons does that pretty efficiently.
Pretty quickly. So, all right, let's just dig in.
All right.
What's the biggest challenge of selling this in this crazy marketplace?
Yes. The biggest challenge is making sure consumers know this isn't an app for kids. Hmm. That's really the Disney name is so powerful. It brings with it family friendly,
right.
And our content is all either PG-13 or TV-14 and below, so nothing M, nothing R. And a lot of people will assume, oh, this is for parents who have a little kid. And so things like The Simpsons, things like The Mandalorian, which is the first live action series from Star Wars, and it's truly epic. You'll see that featured heavily in our campaigns because it's a clear signifier to consumers that this is not a ketchup app.
Right.
Not like ketchup and mustard. Ketchup app. Hot dog. And that it isn't just for kids. So I think that really is the biggest challenge.
And, you know, after your many years at Fox and knowing what it takes to launch, you know, to brand a broadcast network and to launch shows, how is this different? Is it similar? Are you able to use a lot of those skills and add all the new ones?
Yeah, the skills are pretty much the same. It is a very broad offering. And there again, everything with Disney Plus is sort of double-edged. So that is tremendous. It is so broad. Each one of these brands is distinct and established. And then the challenge is, how do you choose out of that catalog what you're using to market, and also how do you segment? So that's a young millennial who doesn't have kids and isn't thinking about it. They see, you know, Mandalorian and they see The World According to Jeff Goldblum, but not see a bunch of princess movies.
Right.
Whereas the mom whose kid is going crazy because Moana is no longer on Netflix, you don't want them getting too exposed to the fantasy violence that is in the other programming. So it's broad. It's broadcasting. We will be buying network television to market it.
And synergy, right? Yeah.
Amazing synergy. Unbelievable. When we were at Fox together and we would sort of covet what we could see that Disney machine do, on the inside, it's awfully nice. I will tell you that so impressive. Each division of the company aligns. There will be an unprecedented campaign for this, more than they've done for anything. And what is also unusual is a normal synergy campaign, I'm sure many of you participate in them, you're driving toward one date, you're opening a movie for the company, you're opening a TV series, you're perhaps launching a new attraction, and then you're done. We just keep our hand out.
Right.
We just need support post-launch because I'm responsible for brand and content marketing, feeding the top of the funnel. There's a great group of people at Disney Streaming Services in New York who are doing the acquisition marketing at the bottom. So we need help post-launch to keep driving it. So like broadcast, the other difference though is at Fox we had that edge. We had that ability to make noise and lean into controversy and cut through that way. That's gone. No, there's nothing, nothing controversial. The controversial thing is like, can they eat those potato chips? Like, you know, it's that, right? Can there be
no
butter
straws.
On the pancakes?
No straws, right, yeah. Right. Which is a good thing. And then the app, that's like a whole new world for you. I mean, I imagine we were dallying in it in the Fox days,
right,
but,
right.
You know, this is app forward. So you must be working with product people and helping design the functionality, all that stuff.
Amazing, amazing team. Again, Disney Streaming Services, they were formerly BAMTech.
Right.
So they are industry leaders. And so it's beautiful. I mean, you saw it. It's another signal that it's not a kids app. It's a very elegant design. The use of photography, full bleed, it's gorgeous. There is a kids mode. You can choose avatars for yourself, and then in kids mode, there's different avatars to choose. But it's an incredible team. The double sword is like, it's not just a double-edged sword, it's a double sword.
It's a double sword.
The power of these brands mean these brands have power.
Sure.
So our other streaming friends who are here, they license product and they market it as they wish. I'm dealing with incredibly valuable brands owned by the company that must be protected. So the way that Star Wars is merchandised on the app, it's a new level of sensitivity than if it had just been acquired and it was given to the app design team to do. So instead, brand and content is very much hand in hand. What will the tile look like? What will the hero look like? What will it look like when you do your performance marketing? And you have to do those very effective, and I say it with great affection, but ugly ads that are saying 1 week free trial, So we are making sure our friends at Marvel and Pixar and Lucas, who haven't created series before or had them marketed in any way that they had control of, we're keeping them in the loop.
Sure.
So a lot of stakeholders
I bet.
At Walt Disney.
And it must be kind of a double-edged, double-sided yeah. sword back in that I'm sure they have some concerns that the way that their product is now put out into the universe, with you guys coming in and with all this promotion, are you going to start to eat away at some of their success metrics, and does that concern them?
Yeah, I would say the concern probably isn't at the brand level. It's more in the other divisions of the company, and we are all working together. When I'm working with our friends at Freeform, I am the advocate to say we need to keep Freeform healthy so that Freeform can be an amazing promotional partner for us. We need Disney Channel to be healthy, and they know the High School Musical brand.
Right.
They own that. We need to work with them. Home Entertainment, we are partnering with them. What assets still go on the DVD versus are an extra on our app? We are protecting the window, so the theatrical window stays the same, the in-home window stays the same, and then starting with Captain Marvel forward, all Disney films, pay one, is on the Disney app and it stays forever. So we're sensitive. We won't market, when Captain Marvel is in its pay window, we won't be marketing that it's on our app. We will allow in-home to monetize it fully, then we will say, now it's here. It's a big difference for the company.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's a big difference for you because a lot of what you had to do with shows is that 6 month, 8 month, 10 month awareness window, and now you'll be able to pick up, but you'll be having to market in it a different way.
It's much, much different than where we were, that where we were licensing something, did with it as we wanted.
Yep.
We thought our studio partners were being short-sighted because we were trying to drive the
rating.
Never did that. Is Mark Pearson here? We used to drive, you know, saying we're trying to make the ratings as big as possible to have your ancillary streams matter. And now we are thinking from the beginning holistically. A film no longer leaves the Disney ecosystem.
Right.
It's there from the beginning. And so I think one of the reasons they wanted me for the position this is that my worldview is a little bit larger,
mm-hmm.
and having been a producer, I will say, I'm much more sensitive. Having been a producer who's had a show on streaming where I was excluded from the process, we are much more inclusive and want those people to feel that we understand and value their opinion of how we are presenting their product both on the app and in the marketing.
Well, so that is a good segue to another question that I have
like
for
segues.
You, which is, you know, there's a lot of, I think that we hear about it in the industry buzzing that, oh, everybody doesn't want to be driven by what the algorithm says. People want to be assured that their show is going to be handled with kid gloves, that it's going to get the promotion they feel like it deserves. Are you already starting to have those conversations?
Yeah, for sure. I think having spent years working very closely with research teams, mm-hmm. really valuing what they do, but also knowing that it isn't perfect. Because if it was perfect, we would only have hits, right? We would only all just make hits. So the human element is still crucial. And the algorithm, as the way I talk about it, you know, we're going to have a period at Disney Plus from launch until Skynet goes online. You know, there is this period. Terminator is a documentary, you guys, for sure. So until that algorithm becomes sentient, we have a very heavy hand in the curation of it.
Right.
And then even once it's up and running, we are all, I think we are benefiting from our place in the evolution of streaming and data. Okay, first of all, AOL was 25 years ago. That I'm like officially 100. But where we are in the evolution of streaming, we see, right, what's being done. We know, we all know, undoubtedly, Netflix is the king. They are the king. They dominate. They dominated it. They know what they're doing. Their algorithm has more data than any algorithm, right, in entertainment. Yet all of their shows don't work. So if everything was left to that, we would end up with assured failure. So why not keep the human element in there? Also, because of our background in broadcast, we used to say there were ratings, there were social, right? The sort of fan engagement and press.
Right.
That goes into the formula. You would sometimes keep a lower rated show because you were getting magazine covers.
Or ad dollars.
Or ad dollars, for sure. Or you'd have a high-rated show that an advertiser did not want to be in.
Right.
Temptation Island. And you guys, that was number two, 18 to 49, its first season. It's mind-boggling, and no one wanted to be in it. But the same will be true for us. It'll be a mix. That no one will just hand the keys over to Skynet.
And how are you going to go about balancing sort of the obviously very rich library that you're going to have coming at the beginning with these important new shows and these new relationships with showrunners? Like,
right.
How are you handling that?
It's interesting. The research so far shows that people love the breadth of the catalog because there is something for everyone. But originals are really important as differentiators in the market, as we know.
Right.
I mean, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu and House of Cards, Stranger Things, those originals on Netflix. The fact that for CBS All Access that they put Star Trek on that platform signaled to the world, this matters, the originals matter. So our launch campaign has a brand. Layer, and then we have individual title campaigns as well. Mandalorian will have an enormous campaign. High School Musical, the series, will have a really broadcast level launch campaign. Noelle, starring Anna Kendrick, which is a film, an original film, will as well, and so on. So the originals matter as a point of distinction. However, the performance marketing is going to absolutely lean into that catalog. And when we target Star Wars fans, they've never had all of the films in one place. And it really took a lot of work by the acquisitions team to clear these hurdles and to have them there, to have the amount of Marvel films that we'll have at launch. Those are going to be really instrumental. And post-launch, and even though our date is November 12th, our launch is through 12/31. Mm-hmm. We'll be then popping back opportunistically and saying, here are all of the Princess movies in one place. Sound of Music, you know, is here. So we'll be doing that sort of opportunistic digital social outreach. The catalog's enormous. We could segment all day long. It's really only limited by the budget.
And you'll have ghosts of Fox shows past that will be haunting you. You'll be able to pick on your key art and say, what was I thinking?
What were they thinking? I never liked that art. I never did that. But we had bosses who did that. We had bosses who would approve it, and then it would go up to his or her boss who would not like it, and they'd say, well, I never liked that either. That's the only thing they showed me. I was like, I showed you 82 comps.
Seriously, 82.
82.
So sounds like you're going to be busy.
I'm a little busy.
So they're like letting you hire a bunch of people, you're staffing up, everybody's standing out here with their resume.
Right. Yeah. I wish. What is interesting about the way we are designed is we are, while we are the number one priority for the company, and that has been declared, we are a startup within the organization, and we're designed that way. Because of the power of the brands, it's funny, this audience will probably understand it more than anyone. If you start from the brands and work backwards and say, the people who work on all of the Star Wars movies marketing should also work on the series marketing because they know the rules, they won't screw it up, our brand won't get harmed, this brand that is living outside. Marvel, same thing. The Marvel series that are coming on, I was able to be in a presentation that Kevin Feige did a couple weeks ago where he laid out where he's going with his series. And I will say, I am 100, and I've been doing this a long, long time, and there are no new ideas. Kevin Feige is brilliant, and turns out there are new ideas. And what he's doing, we left it absolutely inspired and elevated because of his plans. And the series that will be on Disney Plus are absolutely connected to the MCU and what happens. So what happened in Endgame, I won't spoil it. They all die. No, I'm kidding. what happened in Endgame picks up in our series, and then what happened in our series informed the next films.
That was very cool.
I'm on such a tangent right now. It's unbelievable.
It's okay. It's all good.
Where did we start?
No, we're good.
So we started somewhere. I don't know.
It's okay. I said busy and
busy.
A team, size
teams.
Of team.
Ah, there you go. Thank you.
No problem.
So people who work on Marvel, so therefore, shows or movies that are produced by the film studio, we lean on their marketing team, their publicity team, the media team. I have no media team. I used to, Laurel.
I know.
I had the best. If you want the best, he's right here, guys. But I use the studio's media team. When we have a show or a film from Disney Channel, I get to work with the incredible people at Disney Channel. They are the ones who are, Jill Hotchkiss is out there. She cut this great first sizzle for High School Musical, the musical, the series. And Robin Campbell, if she's out there, is helping with the logo and the key art. These are not Disney Plus employees, these are Disney Channel employees. The shows that come from ABC Studios, we're leaning on them. And if they don't have what we need, we're leaning on the ABC network.
Right.
Luckily, I know some people there.
A few of them. A couple of them.
and they're very kind and supportive. We also do have some third party produced, a lot of unscripted, and that the amazing Andy Baker, who is heading up creative for Disney Plus, he's got to figure out how to do all of that as well with agencies. All of that is just to say we don't have bodies. It's a little hard to process, but we're a startup, so we have a skeletal staff. We have a fraction of what we need, but wisely have hired people like Andy, who just push through and are creative and unbelievably prolific and still a joy to be around. If you send me your resume on LinkedIn, like, we just don't have any openings.
At some point.
We must.
Yes,
I mean,
at some point. You can't keep doing it.
I think it will be this way till launch.
Yeah, at least.
And then we either get help or we break.
You'll be okay. And it's international too, right?
It is
global.
It's going
to be a global launch, so
it's
how's
global.
That going to happen?
There are a couple of territories that are day and date in November. And then next spring is Europe, and then the rollout continues after that. We have great partners there. The domestic team is going to set the brand positioning, the title positioning, the suggested media mix. We'll share it with the local partners, get their feedback on what is globally relevant or not, and we'll do it hand in hand. But yes, it'll continue through 2021, I believe. The way we're doing our cadence, the things that have aired in the US, when we launch in Europe, those will all be stacked and available. They won't have a delay.
That's great.
They'll just come online, so it'll continue that way.
That's great. Make your marketing all that more impactful. So you mentioned Netflix a couple of times, and it seems like the press has continued to pit Disney Plus against, like, to be the next Netflix. Is that really what you guys go around chanting?
Not at all. No. We're really, really clear. The press definitely want to go there. But that is not the intent. Netflix is so successful, so dominant. Their brand affinity is enormous. No one's giving it up, and no one needs to. $6.99 a month. it's beautifully priced. You don't need to. I mean, I don't know what a latte costs downstairs.
I was going to say, it's a visit to Starbucks,
for
maybe.
Sure. I mean, definitely like a latte and a cake pop, and you could have had a month of Disney Plus. But no, Netflix is massive, and their catalog is massive. That isn't our value proposition. Ours is a decent size catalog and originals that come from these brands that are unparalleled, and it's all right there, and you haven't been able to get it before. And if there are any Disney files out there, you know, the vault, it's very storied and highly revered, and we will have all of the vault as well. So ours is, I'm gonna say quality over quantity, and I'm not implying that the other doesn't have quality, because
right.
It does.
It does, of course it does.
But ours is brand, known established brands.
Right.
And the nav tiles that just allow you to go in, so you can choose anything but find nothing. That doesn't happen because you have ways in.
Right. That makes sense. Well, we have a few minutes left, so I'm going to stop talking about Disney, and I'm going to talk about you. So I worked with you for a long time, and you left marketing at the top of your marketing game, and you said, I'm done being a marketer, and I'm going to go be a producer. And then you had this great run for 3 years at Jackal.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but Joe is the person who introduced Marie Kondo into our lives, so we can all say thank you for your service and appreciate that. So what made you leave the good life and come back to marketing?
I was very, very happy. I love Gail Berman like a sister. We are great partners. We were doing film, television, scripted, unscripted, digital.
And Broadway.
Broadway. Oh, yeah. Convinced Ted Baghdadi to come in. We were making great, great stuff. So I was loving it. And we were doing very well. I was not looking. Ricky Strauss, who's the head of content and marketing for Disney Plus, asked me to have coffee. And I said to Gail, I was like, of course I'm going to go. We're going to get in there and sell them programming. Like, we couldn't get in. I was like, this is our way in. I'll pretend I'm open to hearing his ideas, but really, then we're going to be able to sell them shows. And the more he started talking about, the power of these brands all in one place, what was happening, he did tell me the price point. I was like, this thing's going to sell itself. He did tell me the target subs. Again, I was like, okay. I will say that the sub target has increased by maybe 300% since I accepted. It's like, really? This budget's a little less and the target's a little higher. I'm not saying you lied, but not intentionally.
He's a marketer.
He's a marketer. He marketed. You're right. You're right. But I started to think this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. These brands, each brand is so powerful to be in one place. And I looked across the landscape, and because I have friends who are at other streamers, I was excited about working somewhere where there weren't ratings every day. I was like, oh my God, how amazing is that? and I started looking, who else has brands like this? And no one does. Disney itself is a brand. Right. You know, and Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, all in one place. And you look at Apple, an unbelievable brand, and I have friends there, they don't have brands right. to bring you, so they'll have to establish. So I thought, once in a lifetime, unbelievable. As you know, I do like growing organizations.
Yep.
I like helping people, yep. you know, create an environment where they can do their best work.
Yep.
And I thought, it's still producing. I'm just producing in a different way, and why not? Go for it. And either it'll be a great success, or I'll just call up Gail and say, hey,
you'll learn a little in the process.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, it's awesome. I know that they are very, very lucky to have you, and I will be watching with big excitement to see how it all rolls out. And
did you get the annual? It's only $583 a month.
I got it. I'm doing it right now. All right. Thank you.
Thank you all very much for making the time.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax is rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.